Billy, some had asked me, is that able to be heard from your Sunday school lesson? Can that be like your things that you're doing for the TV or computer?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're doing these things that people can see on doctrine and different things like that. Is this what you had for Sunday school? Is it in, you have it anywhere? Can it be put, can it be taken from what we have and put onto one of those things? But you couldn't put the video, audio.
Yeah, the audio's up. It's already up.
Okay. You can get it. Praise the Lord. That's very good. Did you enjoy that? I did.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Man. I want to thank God for all the blessings that He's given me.
Yes.
And one of the greatest blessings is faith in this book.
Amen.
That's something that's been changed my life.
Yeah.
Good crowd. Good singing. Praise the Lord. Good Sunday school lesson. We'll see if we can get some good preaching. Why don't you open your Bibles to Psalm 19 and we'll read, I'll read the first verse and you read the second and so on through it. Try to stay together. Don't try to outrun anybody. But let's read this Psalm. One of my favorite passages of scripture. I can go into my Bible and just automatically go and read Psalm 19 over and over and over again. Such a tremendous blessing. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
The heavens obey by their speech, and the night showeth knowledge.
There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard.
Their light is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much more worthy, sweeter also than honey comb.
Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward.
Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults.
Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word that we have in our hands.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. If it were not so, you would have told us. Lord, we just thank you for the love that you have for us and
Amen.
Rich, rich blessings we have received in our life by the knowledge of thy word and thy truth. Give me freedom and ease to speak as only you can give. Touch every heart and life that's here. I pray that you will take control of our lives and lead us and guide us and bless the rest of our lives. We just thank you for the word of God we have in our hands. Give us freedom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Very interesting psalm. Like I said, it's one of my favorite passages of scripture. Billy here a week or so ago or whatever, a couple of weeks ago, talked about the handiwork. And very good, tremendous message. I thought about, since he just preached on the handiwork, that I wouldn't do it. But I've got a blessing out of it, and so I hope I can present that. The voice of creation. You notice what it says? You look in there and it says, verse 2, day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. No speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Wow. You know, that just blesses my heart. I have dear friends that have been translating the Bible for primitive tribes and whatever. One of them is the Palmers. They're old folks now and they're living back here. He's still working on the translation, still working on things, getting things done. Spent all their lives in the mission field, and they have children that have been in the mission field. You know, it's a very hard thing to do to get the word of God to somebody that doesn't have a language. And then they have to go in, these missionaries, they have to go in and learn to speak the language that the people speak, then write it down, then translate the scripture into it, then have to teach them to read. Man, they go to a tremendous thing, but what a blessing. What a blessing. Day unto day utter speech. What? The voice of creation. You look at this pulpit. Now, I got a guy that's a pretty expert in wood. And I bought all the things that he wanted. It was not my design. I wish I could claim my design. I think it's a beautiful pulpit. And you see that offering table there. I mean, the Lord's Supper table there. He built both of them. I think they're about the prettiest pulpit anywhere around. I don't know anybody's got any better pulpit. You know what this testifies to? A craftsman. It didn't just come out of the smoke. No, he had to cut the wood. He had to make it right. And you see all of these edges and how they all fit together in both things? That's craftsmanship. God showed his craftsmanship in creation.
Amen.
And I want you to know, according to this psalm right here in my thinking, even way back when somebody didn't know how to read or write, they could see there's a God out there. Can you imagine that? It calls it a voice. The voice. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Wow. So people who couldn't even read or write, they can look at this world and see there is a God out there. And he's an all-powerful God. He knows everything. He's so far beyond us. You know, the problem with smart people is they think they're smart. And the problem with being smart and thinking you're smart, you think you're smart in areas you're not smart in. Well, you know what? An illiterate man could look out there and see the animals, could see the sun coming up, going down, see the rain come and the plants grow. And I sometimes say, dumb is dirt. Dirt is marvelous. Have you thought about it? You're dirt. And ladies, you're refined dirt. Because God made Eve out of his rib, not out of the dirt of the land. So that's why we think the ladies are a little finer, a little better, you know, a little sweeter, whatever, you know. How about the voice of creation? It says, verse 2, day unto day utter a speech. So in Psalm 119, it talks about the faithfulness of God. The world just keeps running around. People have been looking for an engine that just keeps running without having to add the fuel to it. Well, you know what? That's what God did. That's what we've got. Now, I don't know how far back it goes. I'm not sure about all the dates and whatever, but it's been turning a long time. You're worried about global warming? I don't think you know enough of the history of the weather of this planet to figure in on something like that. But the idea is, it's still rolling. It hasn't stopped. I'm 83 years old, over 83 years old, and it's been rolling all of my life. As far as my daddy was concerned, he was 36 years older than me. It rolled all the time of his life. And man, we go all the way back and we go to the people in the Old Testament, way back there, 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, it was still rolling then, wasn't it? I don't think it's slowing down at all. I believe it just keeps right on rolling. We've got a perpetual motion world. That's a pretty smart God, if you ask me. I don't think you're near so smart as you think you are, but I think God's a whole lot smarter than we ever gave him credit for. And we ought to give him credit for it. And by the way, it's a language. I never thought of it that way, but it's a language. Every bit of the creation is out there telling you God is smart. Telling you God has built something that's just going to keep right on going as long as he wants it to go. And when he doesn't want it to go anymore, well, bless your heart, she's going to burn up. That's a prophecy. He said he destroyed the people on the earth by flood. Next time it's going to be by fire. That's what it says. Why believe that? Because that's what it says. You heard that. It was a beautiful lesson, Billy. I appreciate that. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I come to the place in my life at one time when I was fighting a lot of questions. And I had a lot of people that we were in arguments all the time. And we might pick one side or the other side or whatever. Have you ever thought about, is God a good God or a bad God? There are a lot of people who think God's a bad God. I've known people who claim to be believers in the Bible and whatever, and yet they say, why didn't God kill the devil and so we wouldn't have all this problem? Well, I don't know that I can speak for God. I don't know all the reasons why he does what he does. But I was one time, I was reading in Genesis, and I was reading about Abraham. And he made a statement. I'll just get to it right now. In Genesis 18:25. That be far from thee, talking to God, to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. And then he makes this statement. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Can you believe that?
Amen.
I can believe that. That gave me a blessing. Once I came to that verse, I was reading and thinking and, you know, we're talking about how do you prove God's good? Well, by all the good things, the good food you eat, the happiness you have, children being born, living a good life, delivering you from a whole lot of things. How do you prove God's bad? All the sickness, people that die in hurricanes, lose their houses and all sorts of stuff. You can't prove it either way. Not with all the experiences that we have. And here's Job. And Job tells his wife, he said, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? We just have to receive what God lets come. And then we get to Paul over in the New Testament, Romans 8:28, and we know. Do you know anything? And we know that all things, that's the good and the bad. All things. He didn't say they were good. He said they work together for good for you. You have to trust God for that. You cannot think in the way the world thinks, and the prosperity gospel is not a gospel. It's a false reading. It's only good for some people like us in America in this little bubble of wealth that you and I have been given. Wow. I live in a house that has air conditioning, it has heating, it has light, it has a restroom right inside. Don't have to go to the outhouse. I grew up, I was born on a place where you had to go to the outhouse. God is looking out for me. Do you know that? God is looking out for you. And if he lets you go through some things, it's because it's for your good. Now, thinking about that, that said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And that just answered it for me. This is years, years, years ago. Might even been when I was in college and I was with all of the different things that they teach and they go back and forth and all that starry mess. And I've got 2 degrees, by the way. I've spent a lot of it, heard a lot of stupid stuff from very smart people. You know something? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Boy, that settles something for me. And I haven't worried about it since. I've had some bad things happen. I've had some trouble. I've had good friends turn on me. I've seen tragedies. And yet, I go back to Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, that's not a mistake. All things work together for good. Man, that's God working that out. You remember what he said in the 14th chapter of John? If it were not so, I would have told you. He's talking about the mansions. I go to prepare a mansion for you. And as he's talking about that, he makes a statement, if it were not so, I would have told you.
That's right.
What if there were no hell? He'd have told us.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. If there were no heaven, he would have told us. If there were no salvation, he'd have told us. Can you trust God
Amen.
To tell you what you need to know?
Amen.
I believe you can.
Amen.
I thank God for his word, but my, I would have hate to have been in that situation. Hey, Abram, in the 15th chapter of Genesis, verse 1 says, the Lord came unto Abram in a vision saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What Bible was Abram reading? Am I glad I've got the New Testament?
Amen.
Wow. He didn't even have Moses. Moses is a long time from being born. What scriptures did he have? Have you thought about Lot and Abram? And the great faith of what they, I don't know what they were, how they were taught. I don't know where it came to them. Abram seems like it's visited by God. And God tells him, get up and move. You're 70 years old. Get up and leave your family and go to a place I'm going to tell you to go. And he gets up and goes. And his faith is counted to him for righteousness. He's your grandfather. What you and I have in the New Testament and have through Christ Jesus, the sacrifice of Christ, is faith is counted for righteousness. Abraham's your father. Way back there, he didn't have a Bible like this. He didn't even have a scroll. You know what he'd seen? He'd seen the voice of creation. How about that? He said, I know there's a God. Might not have knew what name to call him at first. But isn't it an amazing thing? Abram had great faith. And what you have is just a little faith. And your little faith can work wonders. Said it's the little bitty seed. It's like a grain of a mustard seed. And we see this creation. I told you that I was a skilled carpenter. I didn't do this. I couldn't have done it. I'd have worked on it for years and it would never have been this good. And I'm somewhat of a carpenter, rough carpenter. But at any rate, this right here is a testimony to a skilled man. That table back over there tells you somebody put some effort in and somebody knew what they were doing and they did a beautiful work. That's what creation ought to do for you when it comes to God. You turn around and look at some of the beautiful animals. I love my dog. Some of you love your dogs. I'm not going to promise you your dog's going to be with you in heaven. I don't believe Jesus died for dogs.
That's right.
I love my dogs. I've had quite a few dogs. I've had a dog nearly all my life. Still got one. But you know something? Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. I'm so thankful for the New Testament. Wow. Abram didn't have the law. You ever thought about that? He didn't have the law. Now, the voice of creation, it says, there is no speech nor language, verse 3, where their voice is not heard. I want you to know, everybody in the world, even those little Hottentots down in South America on the Amazon River that can't read anything, they live very, very primitive lives. They see animals being born. They see children being born. They see fish brought up out of the Amazon basin to eat. And they have all sorts of other things. They see the blessing of God that He created these things. Wow. The voice is there. Yet some of us, intelligent, able to read and write, degreed, some of us like that, do not believe God. Got a real problem with it. I tell you the truth, what a beautiful blessing it is to know God and to have faith in God. Now, the voice of creation said it's gone out all over the world. The words to the end of the world called it words. Now, there may be something in this language here, that this voice of creation that David is referring to, that hits the mind of people. You think in words, did you know? Not even if you can't read or write. You thinking in words. Well, God's got a way of taking His creation and reaching out there and saying, here's my fingerprint. Here's my example. Here's what I did. Here's what I created. And that's the voice of creation. It's a tremendous voice. And it's just exactly like this fellow built the pulpit, built the table. I bought everything that he needed. He let me look over his plans, but I didn't make the plans. I didn't say it had to be a certain size. I just said, do me the best job you can do. And I provided a few things for him. Now, we have a testimony that there was a builder, and he did something, and it's something worthwhile, and it's something that can be used, been used for years. Why don't you take a look at God's creation and see that it's a good thing and something that can be used and used for a long, long time and something to bring comfort to your heart. Why did God put this out here? So you could see it and know there's a God. There is a world maker. There is a universe maker. And He's so big and so smart, you ought to stand in awe. You ought to get up in the morning when God gave you another day of life and stand in awe. Simply because of the voice of creation and all of these things that he had there. Look down at verse 7 though. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord, sure, making wise the simple. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring together. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Amen. How long has it been since you read the Ten Commandments? Amen. I read them every once in a while. They still convict me. I say, I don't live up to them. I sometimes covet people's old cars. And I covet other things too. You know something? The law as was given to Moses, this is hundreds of years past Abram. The law that was given to Moses is a great light. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, servant, money, health, looks. He's telling you how to do it. He explained it very, very clearly in these 10 commandments. After the first two, maybe somebody that's an atheist wouldn't like, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And then you take the other eight. And it tells you about your selfishness. Now, all of you mothers, some of you fathers understand, maybe some of you don't. That little baby, when it comes into the earth, is the most selfish thing you ever met. Amen or oh me?
Amen.
That little baby doesn't care whether you had sleep or not. Doesn't care whether you're feeling sick or not. It wants whatever it can get. It wants the milk. It wants the changing. It don't matter about your convenience. Little babies are selfish. You know what the problem is? Most of us are still selfish. Isn't that one of the basic characteristics of every one of us? Amen. We are selfish. When I read those Ten Commandments, my selfishness comes out. I know that's the law, and I ought to fulfill that. But if I had to fulfill it to get to heaven, I'd never make it. You know what I sort of think? I don't think you would either.
Amen.
And the way you break a chain is all you got to do is break one length. Well, you take those Ten Commandments, all you got to do is break one. I break them all. I've broken them all. How am I going to get to heaven? Well, not on my righteousness. And then I read the New Testament, and here's great light. The gospel is great light. Listen to me. I cannot imagine going back to Judaism after seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine thinking that is a great light and greater than what we have. There's no way. No way. God said of Abraham, he's talking to him about saving Lot. God's going down to Sodom. That's where Lot decided to go. He looked like a prosperous place to go. He evidently did well there. He's saying, Lord, if you find 50 righteous, will you save the city? 40, 30, 20, 10. He thought he could stop at 10. Wouldn't you think so?
Yeah.
If you sent a missionary out somewhere, surely in a certain amount of time, he'd have 10. And maybe if you went with a family like mine or some others, you'd have half of them there already. Wow. There were only 3 that came out. Lot and his 2 daughters. His wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Think about things like that, and you wonder, a salvation that takes faith and counts it righteousness? Wow. What'd Abraham do? He believed God. And God said, I'm your exceeding great reward. Wow. He believed God. He didn't fulfill the law. He didn't even have a law. The law wasn't even out. Not saying that the righteousness that the law represents was not along with God all along. Understand? Sin was always sin. But when there was no law, it's not counted as sin. But what do we have here? We have God Almighty saying, Abraham, your faith, your belief, your trust, is counted for righteousness. Wow. That's hundreds of years before the law. Moses hadn't written the law then. Man, that's thousands of years before you come down to Jesus Christ and you see the Lamb of God going to the cross of Calvary, dying not for his sins, but for your sins.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And you know what he tells him? Just believe. How simple can that be? I've had people tell me, I've been preaching the gospel 62 years. I've had people tell me it's too simple. Too simple, couldn't be. No, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. I can give you an offer today. I can walk into the prison to all of the fellows on death row for hideous crimes. And I can say, Jesus Christ can forgive your sins, will forgive your sins, if you just believe he died for you. Just believe that he paid your debt. And you'll take that up. And God Almighty would save them if they'll call upon him. He did me. Wow. It's too simple. What about a bright light? You think that's a bright light? That's so much brighter than the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments bring me truth. Oh, yes, they do. But you know something? They also bring conviction. And the Bible says you just break one of them. That's all you got to do is break one. And you're not perfect. And God demands perfection. The tremendous light that the law had, and now the gospel has even more tremendous, and your people have a book put in your hands. You got preachers to preach the gospel to you. You got witnesses knocking on doors, trying to get people. You got people mailing out letters with gospel tracts. Wow. We've got a wonderful job to do. A lot of people aren't going to accept it. They don't receive it. But wow, what a simple thing. What a beautiful thing. And I tell you what, you got a voice of the law. The Bible says it's perfect converting the soul. Yeah? I read the law and I realize I'm a convicted sinner. I've talked to a lot of people in these 62 years. I've had a few that told me they weren't sinners. Amazing to me. And some of them I knew their life. I knew they were sinners. They're living in sin at the present time. What a great message that is. What a great truth that is. What a great joy it is to know Jesus Christ died in my place. And if I will believe it, just call upon his name and say, Lord, forgive me. Save my soul. Christ died for me. Wow, what a change.
Amen.
Then look down at verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright and I'll be innocent from the great transgression. Said that twice wrong. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You got the voice of creation and you got the voice of law. What about the voice of your own conscience when you look at creation and you look at the law? Can you understand your errors? Can you understand why you lose your temper?
Yes, amen.
Can you understand that you're very selfish? And the reason why you fight and war and argue and plan and scheme and stay up late at night is because of your own selfishness?
Amen.
Wow. There's three voices in this psalm. Voice of creation, the voice of the law, and the voice of your conscience. How about presumptuous sins? Have you ever been presumptuous with the Lord?
Amen.
Sure you have.
Amen.
You don't want to be.
Amen.
That's not a place to stiffen your neck.
Amen.
That's not a place to double up your fist. I remember when I was 17 and I was really mad at my father. And I'm standing right in front of him. And I've got this right fist doubled up. And he looked at me. And he said, and he held his left hand out. He was right in my face. He said, could you hit me, Linda? I said, not if I got a brain in my head. My ring finger wouldn't go across his little finger. He had a hand that had been torn up and he grabbed a fan at work one time and his hands went inside and the blades cut him up a little bit and he had a scarred hand. Not if I have a brain in my head. Could you? Could you really? Hit me? No, 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 no. Have you ever been stupid? It's a shame, but some of us are stupid.
Yeah.
And all of us are stupid every once in a while. And all of you can look back on stupid things that you've done. How about the voice of your own conscience? Did it tell you you need Jesus? Did it tell you you needed a Savior? Did it tell you that He's the one that can do the job for you? And you can be a son of Abraham by faith in Christ, and He'll count your faith for righteousness. That's a beautiful thing. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yeah, bless your heart.
Amen.
Bless your heart. For God so loved the world. That's you. God so loved you. That He gave His only begotten Son.
Thank you, Lord.
And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow.
Victory in Jesus.
Amen. I love this Psalm 19. And then it just struck me, the three voices. Creation has a voice. You can see it. You can feel it. You can think it. And you can think the words. Yes, God made it. God created it. And then with the light of the law, and then the light of the gospel, wow. What have we been given? Tremendous thing. If you're not saved, bless your heart, you need to call upon Jesus Christ and be saved. You need to finally turn around and humble yourself and say, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm not good enough to make it to heaven. God will not accept me as I am. I must go in under the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's perfect. If you're saved, you've got a perfect righteousness before the throne of God in heaven forever. Never to be brought back against you. Wow. A child of God, born again of the Holy Spirit. You got God living within your heart. And a little bit of faith in the Word of God. Wow. If you're here and you're not saved, you need to get saved today. Christian friend, if you've just been neglecting God, you've just been neglecting what you ought to do, you need to get it right. I think we need a revival around this place. I don't believe we've had one yet. I believe we need a revival of our hearts and where we're moved by the Spirit of God and we seek God's face. You need to listen to God in all His voices and respond. Call upon Him. Pray. Ask God for forgiveness. Don't let these stupid things ruin your life. There's a lot of bragging in this generation about sex and about many partners and whatever. But when I read Proverbs this week, I happened to come across a chapter where it's talking about this strange woman. And it said her house was the place to death. Death. Oh, we're having so much fun. Man, we got real love. This is a love child, not a slave child like those married women have. Stupidity, stupidity, stupidity. Leads to death. Many great men have been dropped by her. Wow. God so loved the world. Don't go without getting right with the Lord. That's what you need. I want us to sing, if we can sing it, hymn number 207. I don't know whether you can...
207.
Laura, if you don't know it, if we can't sing it, why? Okay. This altar's open if you'd like to come down. May God move upon your heart. You ever had a happy day? How about this happy day?